What's good, y'all? It's Gavin or Tweak.
What up, what up? It's Charles or Chuck.
And what's going on? You got Matt or has Marcus had to jump. You know how it is, chat. He's a family man. He got family things to do, but we're here hanging out. Three amigos coming through. Happy to see you guys. What's going on? How y'all been? Gavin?
Doing well. It's kind of just getting ready for Let's Make Big Moves, honestly. Streaming a lot, practicing a lot. Just same old, to be honest. Sticking to a routine. It's kind of like what you were saying before we started. We're kind of just wrapping up 2024 and looking towards 2025, basically.
Yep.
True.
What's up, Charles? How you doing?
Chuck?
I'm doing good. Just getting ready to move again. This is the fourth time I'm moving this year, so...
Jesus.
Love that.
Are you done after this?
Hopefully.
Oh no.
I fucking hate moving, man. Like, god damn, it's so annoying.
It's simultaneously, it's the worst thing while you're going through it. Then it's over. It's like, dude, this fucking rules. It's great to be in a new place and kind of like declutter. We declutter a lot when we move, like just throw shit away because we'd rather just not deal with it. So yeah. It sucks while you're going through it, but yeah.
The reasoning behind it is, you know, my mom has multiple residential properties and there's multiple units within each residential property. So there were so many times where we're like, okay, we have to move into this unit and like kind of start fixing it up, then move out and then fix this one up, then rent that out and then move out of this one and rent that. Like we're kind of shuffling around just to, I guess, optimize how much money comes in. So it's been frustrating, but obviously like it's worth it just financially. It's worth it. So but this, after we move this time, this should be the last time we move for quite some time. So excited about that. And then, yeah, I already talked about how the renovation's finishing up on one of the units and it's looking really nice. And yeah, just getting ready for the move and start the new year in Copley, which is a much more populated city than where I currently live, which is why I don't have to like drive so far for town. Everything will be a lot more convenient. So I'm super looking forward to that. And also very excited about my pocket pools. I got two illustration Celebes in like my first like 20 or 30 packs. I saved like a bunch of hourglasses into the pool. So
yeah.
I got pretty much everything I wanted because I think I just wanted two Celebes and two Muse. Those are like the two decks I wanted to try out. And then everything else is kind of meh.
I didn't get either of those, bro. I did like.
I also got two full art superiors too, so that's dope.
I got two superiors as well, L, because I definitely wanted it to be Celebi or Mew for sure. Let me think. Yeah, dude.
The Gyarados has.
I don't know. I love Gyarados, obviously. I just.
I'm disappointed.
Don't think he's gonna be good. Yeah, it's just that effect. I don't. So it's interesting, actually.
At least it has an effect now.
It did have an effect before. It just was
it could rip your own energies. So cool.
Well, the thing I think that's interesting about this is I think Pidgeot is like going to be amazing this set. So also like truly incredible. Like probably the winner of the expansion. By the way, what's up, everyone? Yeah, I was excited for Pocket. I realized like I've been off for a couple days just because like I have days left at the end of the year and I'm like just going through them and kind of chilling, doing stuff around the house. I've been watching a lot of movies and really enjoying that. Actually, I just saw Interstellar and IMAX before this.
Great movie.
That movie came out 10 dude that movie came out 10 years ago. Never seen it, had no idea what it was about. Dude, I know. I love movies. Like,
oh man,
dude, so I saw it for the first time, spoiler free, in fucking 2024 IMAX. It was insane.
How'd you pull that off,
dude? I don't know. And every time like someone would bring that movie up, I'd be like, I haven't seen it, I want to watch it. And somehow no one was like, too bad, it's been 8 years. Like, you need too bad. Like, we're going to talk about this movie. Everyone was like, okay. And just stopped. Dude, it was so good. Like, I was thinking about the whole drive home. But
I need to rewatch it. I haven't seen it since it came out. So
go see it in IMAX, dude, if you can. Goddamn. That was so clean. Also, subscribe to the Patreon. Patreon.com/TweakTalks. Today, we're going to be talking about... a topic actually that we covered a few weeks ago when Gavin couldn't be here, what it means to be an old head in the Smash community. I know it was just Mars's birthday recently. So Charles and I are old heads.
Wow.
We're basically, I think of it, we're like elder council is what I think of. Like we're beyond old heads at this point. Gavin's an old head.
Not elder. I'd say older council. Let's come on.
Elderly
man.
Council.
I don't got the cane yet, bro. Come on.
The wise council, okay? We won't attach an actual age. Wise, I think, often implies something with age. But but you know, Mars is, you know, just had a birthday. Happy birthday to Mars, friend of the show, friend of all three of us. And yeah, we talked a lot about what it meant to kind of go through our journeys in the scene and all that stuff. So I think it'd be great if we did that with Gavin here. So do that as the Patreon topic, because he said I wouldn't be able to come up with a topic in right before
nice
the show.
Job. That was
there on the improv. That was right on the spot. I was pumped. I was good scrolling job, my timeline. Job. I saw it was Mars's birthday. I was like, got it. I don't know what I'm doing here.
Yeah. Well, 26, he's officially a boomer now, right?
He's 26.
Yeah, so official boomer status.
They made him play on the boomer team. He still thinks about it. He tweeted about it, which I thought was very funny. Yeah, it's just in Smash. That just means you're a normal, like, young person. That's all. That's what it means, man.
You're not a 16-year-old prodigy? Boomer.
He's a decent amount younger than me.
Tyler?
Because I turned 26 in April, and he's just turning 26 now.
Oh, you're all the same class. It's all
I mean, yeah. It's the same,
like, thing.
It's the same age. What the
but, like,
I thought you'd be like, I'm like 32. I was like, oh, shit, Gavin.
I always appreciate me and him, like the exact same, but that there's a small difference there.
And then Paris is younger than you guys, right? He's like a year younger. Yeah.
Yes. Like he's like 24 or something.
You guys are that class of Void too. I think of the four of you. For the
Void
most part,
is
like
older than me.
Yeah. Void's, I think, 2 years older than you.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
I just associate him with that Smash 4 newcomer, like young guys.
It's like whoever was in this, you know, 5 to 6 year area of Smash 4, like, sure.
Yeah. It's like the commentary squad from that era too, Charles. Like, me, you, and Vicky and Rod are like kind of roughly the same age, but like not really. Like, there's definitely a range there for sure.
Yes.
But yeah, all of this we'll dive deeper into on the Patreon content, so check that out. Talk about our journey, mostly Gavin's, because we did myself, Marcus, and Charles. As we were talking about Xanadu, we just talked about like just kind of retrospect on the whole Smash thing that we've been doing for 10 plus years or how long have you. So check that out. That should be up on the Patreon too. Back to Pocket though, because
wait, so TLDR, we're just gonna roast Gavin for being old on the Patreon?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's gonna be good. I mean, you have a great story in the scene, so I'm excited to talk about it. But either way, I actually stayed up for the Pocket release, and it was 1 a.m. Eastern. I saw it was like 11 p.m. I was like, when does this shit come out? I swear it came out today. I looked it up. I was like, dang, it's 1 a.m. I was like, I waited, you know, dude. I held on to all my things for months. I was like, or a month or whatever. I'm waiting, dude. I've stayed up. Good pulse.
I had 30 packs just off of hourglasses.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I had to stay up real late, too. I think like 8 p.m.
True.
Boy,
I was like, wait a second. I know this from Interstellar. Time is, it's all right.
Right.
Yeah, I get it.
True, true. No spoilers.
It's about time travel. Well, not really. Well, you'll see. See it, chat. Dude. I know. I was like, well, I was so happy I avoided
it. Don't be the guy that ruined someone else's experience because you got away scot-free and watched it in 2024. Like, what if someone else wants to experience that?
I knew that part of it. I knew there was some time stuff. That's all I knew, though. That's all I knew. Okay. Oh, and then the scene happens. That's a meme. I didn't know that was from Interstellar. Then I saw it happening. I was like, oh, shit, that's that meme.
Some time wizard stuff.
Yes, exactly. Time wizard. Yeah, I stayed up and then I pulled. Dude, so I was thinking about the Gyarados card. It could. So I was thinking about, like, how do you counter? Because, like, the whole game so far has been, like, you get your main card in, then you fill up your bench, right? Like, afterwards, especially if you run something like Pikachu or whatever that gets powered up the more things are on your bench. And now Pidgeot's, like, anti-meta in that way where it's, like, you don't want shit on your bench, but you do because if they Sabrina you, you're fucked. So it's just, like, he's really strong right now. And I was, like, where the fuck does Gyarados fit in this? And I was like, maybe because you don't want things on your bench if Gyarados is your only active Pokemon. That's good, but that's like such a reach. Bro, I don't know about that. Like,
you know what's interesting about Pidgeot too is, like, you could go into EX, or the other original Pidgeot is a Sabrina, so you could pivot. Like, it's situational, right? Do you need the damage, or do you want a Sabrina off the Pokemon ability? And I want them to come out with more Pokemon that just require colorless energy. That's why I think Mew is so great, because it's flexible, right? I think Celebi is technically flexible as well, because I think it's a grass and a colorless, and it just depends on how much energy you have, if I'm not mistaken. So, like, Celebi's kind of flexible, but Mew is, like, really flexible because it's three colorless to do, you know, a copy ability that can take out some of the most strongest cards in the game, like Charizard and Mewtwo and stuff like that. Like, those Pokemon knock themselves out with their own moves, right? So that's why, and then they gave Mew like a bounce and stuff. But yeah, I really enjoy when it's the card pool is flexible and it's not really just only, oh, I just play mono electric or mono fire. Sorry, I'm all coughed.
Yeah, but, no, that's, yeah.
And because even when you told me about the Weezing Greninja deck, I thought it was cool because you're using two colors. Dragonite, obviously, is a classic where you just try to stall and try to set up the four and three with the two colors. So I really enjoy that they're adding more colorless meta Pokemon so we can maybe see more creativity when it comes to deck building, because the very first set felt, I mean, outside of the Greninja Weezing deck, it kind of felt, you know, training wheels, like
pigeonholed. Yeah.
Here's Charizard. Hey, yeah. Go boom. Like,
yeah, and I mean, obviously, that's naturally how things progress over a meta, right? Like, you just kind of, I think the colorless thing, I think that's a great point, because I've seen things like people running Execute just to get the card draw and like, or the extra energy or whatever, like the extra resources from him. So I think it's interesting. I think they're doing a good job. And I also think at the end of the day, like, I said this too, like, the only time I ever got mad at Pocket is when I was trying to get that, you need to win 5 in a row. I was getting very pissed off.
That was the angriest I've ever seen you.
Dude, I was like really, because I legitimately think it's unfair and stupid. Like, that's why. I played Pocket since it launched, and I never got mad at the game. I would lose in ranked or whatever and just not care, because I'm like, you know, they drew Gardevoir first, or they flipped four coins as Misty.
Or they went second.
That's it, right, exactly. And then it just, but I could accept the RNG as a part of the game, but not when they were like, you need to win fucking 5 in a row. I was like, that is, you know what's so funny is my best man at my wedding, he plays Pocket, and he hadn't seen the challenge, and he tried it like 2 days ago, and he was like reading my self-talk, because he was like, dude, this is such fucking bullshit. Like, you have to win 5 in a row and someone just comes out here and they just flip four heads and they beat you. And I'm like, yes, dude, thank you. No. Thank you. I felt so vindicated.
Yeah, they I hope they change Misty or something, because Misty is going to stay in the game and just be so powerful, because it's so generic. It's just, oh, a water Pokemon. Like, it's just
Vaporeon looks kind of wild.
I'm not too sure how strong that card will be, because you move from bench to active. But I mean, just moving energies around is always good. And then the fact that
it's a thing. Like, I was seeing like two Vaporeons doing a bunch of like, it's just so different than the other ones, because it's like, it's not as simplified. You can like spread it out in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not just like, oh, you put one onto your active. Like, it's interesting. It's like an in-between for the electric and like Gardevoir.
Think about it. You could move all those energy around with Vaporeon, then just remove them from your own Pokemon with Gyarados. That's cool. Think about it. That's neat.
Got so excited when I saw Gyarados EX. I was like, holy shit, Gyarados finally got an EX. Like, maybe he'll be good. And then I read the card and I was like, ooh, I don't know about that one. Because, I mean, it's also
it looks
hard.
Cool.
Because you're also competing with Starmie, which I think is like literally one of the best cards, or I personally think it's the best stage one Pokemon, like, and it's one of the best Pokemon in the game. Like, you're still competing with some other cards, but it is very quick, so it's a very good card.
That card is crazy.
Yeah,
Zero Retreat puts it over the top, dude. It's so I love Starmie. I like Starmie anyway, like, as a Pokemon, it's one of my faves, but. Yeah, it's nice that it's good, because that is one thing about Pokemon. Like, with Smash, we get one chance. Like, your character's in the game. Like, Banjo is a great example of this. Like, your character's in the game, and either they fucking rule or they fucking suck, and that's it. In Pokemon, it's like, my favorite Pokemon, Steelix. Not good in the original games, but maybe it'll get a good card, or maybe it'll be good in, like, Unite or some bullshit. Like, maybe some format will come out where it's, like, pretty good. Like, it's cool that they're... Like, I don't know. I think that's neat about Pokemon, that you just get a chance. Like, some Pokemon that just has sucked forever could just be really good in some side game that's really fun that you like. I like that a lot.
That's a good way of wording it.
Even in VGC, you see random things like Eviolite Electabuzz or Eviolite Magmar, and it's a support mon or some weird shit like that. Or, I mean, what was it? Last weekend, Wolfie won with Parish Song.
Dude.
So that was like really fun to watch. So there's so much potential for so many different things. And I even saw like a support Volcarona, and it was like really cool to see. God, what's the move that it's the bug move that's follow me? The bug follow me. I forget what it's called. Rage powder with flame body and getting burns off. It was pretty cool to see. And it ran struggle bug, which is like AOE cleave with drop special attack. It was cool to see.
So Pokemon is cool, dude. It's like,
and there's so many different games too, like you were saying, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the chess of your favorite Pokemon being good at one of the games is pretty decent.
Probably decent, yeah, especially if it's a popular one. But it's just like, dude, I don't think, I think we've talked about Wolfie's content before, but I really like his content. Unashamedly, I'll admit, on my YouTube Wrapped, he was my number one. I watch pretty much every video he puts out. I just think partially is because I think Pokemon's neat and I keep up with the meta from a casual level and like just kind of like to keep up with it. But I just think he has such a great mentality as a competitor. And like, even the way he talks about it today, he's like, he said something in his last video, like, I'm the most decorated player in Pokemon history. I might never win a tournament again, and that's okay. And that's something I've made my peace with. But then he went and won a tournament. So, like, it kind of, you know, that's kind of cool.
This is his 10th regional win in Toronto.
Dude, yeah. Yeah, he's, I think, a very interesting human, like truly. So, and I just like the guy. Speaking of, so one of your other guys has been killing it, Gavin. Your boy Tyler One. He's been doing amazing recently.
In World of Warcraft?
Dude, yeah, have you heard about this, Charles?
What, he hit 60, right? I saw that.
Dude, so not that was his second character he's ever created. And the only time, and he hit 60 faster than most players, and the only time he died is when he got griefed by another player that killed him on purpose because he's Tyler One. So I've been enjoying the WoW HD stuff. Dude, he is...
Speaking of interesting people, bro.
Exactly.
Very interesting human. Like, just...
He's a gamer. He got challenger in every single role in League of Legends. So getting challenger is really fucking hard. I don't even think Void has gotten challenger. I mean, Void didn't
play. What's the percentage, Charles, of getting challenger?
How many accounts or whatever?
Yeah, top whatever. I don't know.
I don't even know the number. It's really fucking hard. It's and this is a team game we're talking about.
Yeah.
But he got challenger in every single role in League. Then everyone was like telling him he's stupid and he couldn't play chess or whatever. So then he played chess. He's really good at chess. And then like it feels like any game. It doesn't even have to be a video game, but every game he plays, he's just really good at. Or he definitely has mastered the process for sure in terms of like picking up something and learning it.
I mean, to be that good at so many different things is just, you gotta, I feel like so many of those skills carry forward. Like, we see good Smash players kind of do that. Like, I think Void's obviously a great example of that. But even people like Light is really good at some other games. Like, he's a really good fighters player. Mars, you know, obviously is really good at games. Gavin, you know. What's up with that? Have we talked about that a lot?
It's because Smash. Because Gavin played Smash for how long? Like over a decade?
Are we allowed to talk about how you suck at other games? Is that allowed?
It's comical.
You're good at Call of Duty, aren't you?
Yeah, you are.
There you go.
I'm just not, like, the bar is just very high. Like, well, I'm not going to say I'm good at other games, but the bar is ridiculously high. Smash players are fucking freaks, bro.
That's fair.
They're too good at everything. Like,
the thing I'll say about you,
I want to give myself some credit. Within like a handful of Yu-Gi-Oh tournaments, I already won a tournament.
Good example. That's fair, and that's a very competitive niche community. Like, you don't go to locals. Like, very few people just
stop. And I've topped like 3 or 4 tournaments, and I've gone to like 15 or less.
And it's been less than a year since you started going to tournaments, because I know, like, I remember the phase where we started like grabbing goat cards and stuff and we were just fucking around, and then you started playing. You were kind of dipping into Modern at the same time, but so it hasn't even been a year, right, since you started going to tournaments, your locals? Oh, wow. Yeah, that is very impressive. And also, you are in a very competitive region when it comes. It's not like you're winning locals in, I don't know, Alaska or...
They're all playing.
What are you going to say? Hey, your scene's competitive, Charles. I love your scene, actually, as I get to know them a little bit more.
Well, you know, it's a lot of people like card games are really popular in Hawaii. Like, we used to have, I mean, our Yu-Gi-Oh tournaments used to be like over 200 people, regionals. Yeah, it was like we had a pretty decent size back in my day. But yeah.
Elder Council, man.
Summon the Elder Council.
You're being so wise right now, you don't even notice it. It's like the ending of Interstellar. We'll leave it at that.
There's some people that are still spoiler free in 2024, bro. You were one.
No, I was the last one, actually. That was it.
I was planning on watching it tomorrow, and now it's ruined.
Were you gonna watch it, dude? Dude.
No, I'm not.
It's a crazy movie. I'd be watching movies.
I hear about how good it is, but even I've somehow not been spoiled.
Dang, man. If I was going to Let's Make Moves and still going over your house before that, we would have locked in and watched Interstellar, you know?
Oh, my God. I'd come through.
Yeah, you're moving, but...
make space on the couch. I'll bring the snacks.
You gotta shove Tiny on the side.
Hey, she can fit.
Oh, true.
Skinny Minnie.
Skinny
She's
Minnie.
Not nice. She will not...
she won't move anyway.
She will not respond well to this.
We're humans, it would be my counter-argument. Don't need to let the cat control who sits on the couch.
Yes, we are.
dude, okay. Can I ask you, Gavin? Because I try to be a good driver. When I'm driving, I try to use like voice text a lot. And everyone can tell when I use Siri for voice text. And I don't know how.
It just says it.
So I say, I was driving and I was messaging Gavin through my phone is in my console. Through voice of text, and I said something to him, and he goes, okay, great, thanks Siri, like saying I know you're using like voice to chat, you know. And I go, why does everybody know when I'm using voice to chat? Like, does it say it's from Siri? Like, how I'm just talking. And I said, well, how do you know? I said, why do, or how does everybody know that? But Siri thought I said, well, how does everyone know that? And Gavin wrote, well, I don't know, back to me. Why? How can people tell?
It literally says sent with Siri.
Oh, well, there you go. That's the answer. That's what I was looking for. Then it's just funny. Well.
Like, you don't get like voice messages often. So when you do, it's also like perfect grammar and like.
Yeah, right. I don't text myself. I don't see what these things look like. I don't go back and check after. I know they got sent. I don't know what it looks like. Anyway. That was fun.
I've never really sent a Siri message. I just thought it was a little funny.
It was, but also you're like the 30th person.
Send me your location and like an ETA for getting home.
Okay, I do that. Okay, that's a new thing I do.
That was insane. I was like, I thought you like accidentally texted me instead of your wife, bro.
I also share that with her as well. So you guys, sharing with two people. No, I did that on, I do that. I share my location with people because I am a chronological liar when it comes to how far away I am from something.
I figured you were doing that to keep yourself on track. Yeah.
You understand because I'll look at my GPS and it'll be like, you'll be back in 40 minutes. And I'm like, I'll be there in 25 minutes. I don't know why. Is that a normal human thing? Am I a psychopath? I feel like that's normal. I'll be like, I'll get there faster.
I mean, a lot of people do it. I don't want to go as far as to say it's normal because that shit would piss me off. But
that's why I'm like, I'm just gonna share my location and everyone knows. We're all on the same page. We're all on the same page. That's it. And
send
it makes me leave earlier.
30 minutes and say I'll be there in 15 minutes.
Just lie. True.
Sounds like you can't control it, bro. You just do it anyway.
I'm out of control, yeah. Well, it makes me leave earlier too, because I'm gonna share my like with my mom. Like I always send it
it's
to
like
her.
It's like setting an alarm or something, like you have to stick to it.
Yeah, and then when I hit traffic, it lets them know. Like, it's just better than me being like, I'll be there in 20 minutes.
You do it one time. Traffic,
Exactly. Yeah, then I don't have to worry about it. So that's why I started doing that. Is it still sharing my location?
I don't know how to explain this.
Still sharing.
I don't know how to explain this to viewers. Like, Charles and Haz probably know. But I'm actually, like, very, like, anxious and paranoid and, like, punctual. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I get it from my mom, who's like always ready. Like, she doesn't like surprises. Like, she has to know she's doing something like 10 years in advance. Like, and I'm like that to an extent, not as crazy as her, but even to this, like, you would see so many top players at like Smash tournaments that like won't show up for their pool like on time. Like, I'm always there at least 10 minutes before, like, unless there's like some health issue, which does happen. Like, but I'm always like, I'm never leaving the general area. Like, I've been doing this for 10 years and like the room knows who I am and I still don't want to get like DQ'd or like, but like, so people who aren't super punctual and like aren't nervous and anxious for things, I'm just looking at them like, how do you not feel anything? Like, do you just think everything's going to be okay? Like,
yes, like,
dude,
it's
like
the best.
As a kid, like my mom was so crazy about like, cause my sister's 2 years younger than me. And like we were kind of just treated like twins, basically. So like we would go somewhere, and my mom would like make sure we're all ready like hours in advance. we're about to step out the door and she will literally like make us go to the bathroom so we don't have to pee on the car ride there. Like, and there, I've just met so many people over the years that just like, they don't set alarms even though they have an important day the next day. And I'm just like, how do you trust yourself and your body so much? Like,
they miss things. That's how, and they don't care. Yeah. And we're definitely cut from the same cloth in that way, because I'll do things like I'll let my dog out and then just instantly on my phone and be like, set an alarm for 10 minutes from my house. Just so, or five minutes, whatever. Like, just so, like, if I get distracted by emails or whatever, like, I'm not going to just leave the dog outside or some dumb shit. Technology enables so this specific, a lot.
Yeah. I set a lot of alarm and timers. So, I mean,
I'm
not
though.
Yeah, I'm not paranoid about it though. Like, I don't know. When I think about life in general, I know everything's going to shit. So it's kind of like, all right, cool, just roll with the punches. Whatever.
So wise.
But like, I still try to do my absolute best. But I know I'm an overthinker. That's definitely something that I can relate with. Probably both of you guys on. I overthink so many different scenarios. Yes, I.
You think you are? I think you're like on top of it. I wouldn't call you an overthinker.
Well, I'm on top of it because I generally go through almost every single scenario possible especially when it comes to like core life decisions. It's like, okay, what are the pros and cons of this? 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 And I'll just sit and think about it all the time. And even like, that's one reason why even when I was younger, I loved taking public transportation. I wouldn't even listen to music. I would just like sit on the bus and just think about stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. But I try, since I know I'm like that, I try not to let it get too out of hand. Because you can definitely start thinking for no reason type thing.
That's interesting that you say. I see what you're saying, but I think if you're talking about major life decisions, it makes sense. Like, I much prefer that you think them through
than
underbake them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I've always just viewed you as on top. It's interesting you view yourself that way, because I always just viewed you as like, I don't know, you check the boxes. Like, you think about shit. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I always viewed it as a good thing. I don't think you present yourself, at least in a way that's like, I would never call you an overthinker for sure. I just think you're on top of stuff.
If that makes sense. 1,000,000%.
I think Gavin might.
Gavin's an overthinker. Yeah. 1,000%. See,
I think Gavin might be able to relate to what I'm saying a bit more, because we've overthought stuff together because of the coaching and stuff.
Oh God. Oh no.
Dude, there would be some calls like 3-4 hours, and like all it starts off with is Gavin's like, okay, I found this one thing with Diddy. And then I'm like, okay, cool, let's jump into a call. And then like he shows me, and then it's like 3 or 4 hours later, and then we're like, so wait, what if this, and then Gavin's like, oh, but this. It was just pretty cool.
I love that. It's like, let's walk through all these scenarios, 8 hours in a call talking about Diddy Kong and the specific tech. Gavin sits down, Pokemon trainer. Like,
the way I like plan out Smash and stuff is, a lot of the time I'll drop a character and like technically there will be no like reason for me to do it, but I just look so far in the future and I know that it's not going to like last long enough. Like Pokemon Trainer, I just knew the character wasn't gonna be good enough for that long. Like,
I remember the tournament that you concluded this decision.
Like, I don't even remember that, but I know, like, when I'm playing the character, seeing the character, like, I know it's not even necessarily about the nerf. I was thinking this before the nerfs happened, that I wouldn't always play PT. Like, Charles can definitely attest to that, probably. Like, I knew that I wasn't going to play PT for all of Ultimate, because the character wasn't that good.
Your biggest gripe was lack of air mobility, lack of air acceleration, and the fact that those two things clashed with Switch stopping the character. And like, and I mean, that's when we saw Pyramithra switch and we're like, whoa, they're moving and switching, like that's broken. But the fact that it was frame one or whatnot, but that gimmick only lasts so long, right? And it's not like you're coming out with a hitbox on frame one with Luigi that has like a hitbox and a windbox. So it's like, can be a little finicky and it's a little harder to counterplay.
The big thing is like the Pokemon don't actually complement each other, especially with weaknesses. They don't. A lot of them have the same, they all have the same weaknesses in a lot of ways. So, and they're also super easy to play, super easy to play against. They're not doing anything that's like mind boggling. So I just knew it wasn't like a long time thing. And I also didn't intend for it to be anyway. Like when I started playing the character as an experiment, because I thought the character could do better than they already were. And I was right, but like I didn't expect to be playing them at like majors.
Yeah, but your one last stand hope for the character was Squirtle. Like Squirtle was kind of carrying the squad pretty hard. And then I remember you had a lot of faith in Up B, but like it wasn't, it didn't override the, like you still thought that they were going to fall off, but then you would have like little rays of hope where you're like, wait, Up B can two frame and like Up B out of shield has a lot of range. It kind of all fell on the back of Squirtle. And yeah. But then, it, like you said, the same weaknesses Squirtle had, they shared the same weaknesses with all the other characters. So once there was a character that kind of covered that exact weakness, it's just across the board, right?
So basically, like my Smash decision, like my overthinking is so ridiculous that I'll quit a character or I'll make a decision based off something that hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. Like I'll lose or beat a Smash, like a player, and I'll be thinking of the next sets and like, B hates this a lot because I'll like 3-0 someone and like I'll be like super upset because like in my head, the way the set went means I'm more likely to lose the next set based on like if they do like X or Y thing. And like I'm like that for characters, for tournaments, for like beating or losing the players. Like, and it's so like exhausting. And that's why like if I play a character for a long time, it's really refreshing because like there hasn't been like some like scary thought that like stops me from playing the character. Cause if it's possible, then I'll get rid of the problem.
You know, it's crazy. I remember specifically when, or one of these scenarios when it happened, and this was probably of the entire time I coached you on TSM, this was probably the hardest point because you could go so many different characters from week to week. You would like change how you feel about certain characters because of thinking like, 3 years into the future and stuff. It was, you were fighting Meister at Frostbite and you beat him 3-0 with Wario the last time you played him. It was like 3-0 or 3-1 convincingly. And you were like, I shouldn't win with Wario. Like I shouldn't be winning with Wario because this matchup is so bad. And then, you know, fast forward time, what do you know? Matchup's ass. So you were definitely right, but you kind of fucked them up last time you went Wario and then you just went PT instead of going Wario.
Yeah.
And you ended up losing at that Frostbite.
I do a lot of damage to myself at the same time, but I try to have faith that in the long run, like it all makes sense. Like it's interesting because like I said, I've been saying it the last couple of weeks, like I'm very interested in the next game to see if I can like I'm probably going to play for the W and you might believe me, you might not.
I believe you.
But I'm playing for the fucking W next Smash Let's go. Game.
That's what I'm talking about.
And not that I'm not right now. I am, but I could take it a step farther and I haven't. And I'm not going to. But next Smash game, from day one, full throttle, play to win only.
It's funny because I feel like that ties back into, at least a part of it ties back into what the Patreon content is going to be about getting older and changing your outlook through whether it's competition or the scene or whatever, but just like kind of maturing and change. And I think, high key, I think Yu-Gi-Oh! Changed you too. Like, I think, especially, dude, because in Smash, changing your main is like just, I'm going to start picking this character on the select screen in Yu-Gi-Oh! Or card games. You got to make a fucking investment to change out cards, especially if they're meta cards and now they're expensive. Also, in another lifetime, you killed it as a day trader, Gavin. You're like, look, this stock's good now. I'm going to ride it high. And then once I'm going to cash out at the top and then I'm going to drop them. And then after that, the stocks just go down. Hey, are you on a different life, Gavin?
Yeah. Every morning, we have a huge TCG player. We sell Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, and a little bit of One Piece, a little bit. Like I buy and sell cards and I like change the prices every morning. I check on like the most relevant Yu-Gi-Oh stuff. Like Pokemon is pretty much all B, but I'm adjusting everything Yu-Gi-Oh every day and checking on things. And I also have an addiction to high rarity cards. So it does help make some money back on my purchases. So yeah, it's cool. And Haz was telling me that he thinks it's cool because I didn't really think of it like this, but he said it was like giving me like interesting life experiences and like skills that are pretty cool to have. And yeah, it's definitely interesting. And yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh! Has definitely changed my perspective a little bit where once you go to a couple tournaments playing your like favorite little deck and you can't play the game because Yu-Gi-Oh is an ever-changing game, and good decks are very good. I lost a couple times and immediately just wanted to play the best options.
You upgraded a little bit.
In a fighting game, you have more room to work with, like more skill expression, and Yu-Gi-Oh definitely has that too. You can be really good with something.
Yeah, but the gaps are way larger though.
Yeah, and like, like I'm fine with like going down the tier list a little bit and like settling. In Yu-Gi-Oh, like it was very quick for me to like want to play the best, and I also won't trickle down like at all.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to play the best stuff, like number like 1 through 3, like 3 at worst, like
right. Yeah, well, it makes a lot of sense, yeah. And I think, too, I mean, there's a reason why that Justin Wong clip of him saying, "Welcome to the real world," I think that that is a timeless clip that will exist forever, because at some point, that hits, man. And, like, you got to make a choice. Like, are you just going to, like, dude, everyone just talks about low-tier hero versus, like, you know, all that stuff. And you've run the gambit of everything, basically.
I've done literally every option.
Yep.
Yep. In a game with pretty big gaps, but, like, the way I compare TCG, like current TCGs, and when you play like a shit deck, you gotta go to some of these other competitive games and go to like games with no patches. Like trying to play a low tier in Melee or Brawl, or I mean, even some of the older Street Fighters, I'm pretty sure Haz can talk about like some of the low tier in Third Strike that were just absolute dog shit, right?
Bro,
like the gaps were so much bigger back then.
Basically, my decision was, like, so I got into, like, I've always liked Yu-Gi-Oh! And I used to play Duel Links a lot while I was traveling for Smash 4. Like, it was, like, my mobile game of choice. I wish I played Pokemon Go back then, but I didn't. But not like I do now. But, so basically, I got into it, like, within the last year or so, like Charles and I were talking about. But I was moving backwards. Like, I was playing older decks that I was nostalgic for. When I tried it out, like in 2018, 2017 in real life. And I realized that like bringing an old deck to a tournament is like going to a Smash Ultimate tournament and somehow playing like Smash Ultimate Steve versus like a bad Melee character. It's like, you're somehow not only picking a bad character, you're also picking like a mechanically different one, because Yu-Gi-Oh is like, it's a game as well. And it's always changing. And if you're not changing with the game, then you're losing access to like mechanics and stuff. So
yeah,
I realized that like, not only does it make sense, it's also just more fun to like, to change with the game that's changing. It's the whole like point. And at the same time, if you are using another option, like that's fine, but you still have to pay a lot of money for the staples. So like, that really did it for me, where I was like, okay, I might as well play a really good deck because I'm still going to be spending a lot of money on Yu-Gi-Oh anyway. So I might as well, like, budget options are cool, but like the staples are so expensive that you might as well just take it a slight step farther and play a good deck too. Because like, you have to spend like $300 on 3 cards that everyone needs to have, like if you want to compete. Because if you're playing casually, this conversation's like completely pointless, but like if you're spending that much money to like use your favorite deck and you're not winning, you might as well take it a step farther. Like, you have to play you have to play the Moltres anyway, bro. Like,
what
are you using? Or you're using a Fiendsmith engine with your rogue deck. It's like, what are you even doing? Like,
yeah,
let's go all the way.
So if you wanted to, so you said in the next Smash game, it's going to be you pushing and selling out basically, right? And going, it's not. So to me, what that means is, based on what you've said to us in the past, is you like to play characters that you personally enjoy, like Diddy Kong in Donkey Kong Country. Like, you like the Donkey Kong Country series. Cloud in Smash 4 falls into this category, same as Sephiroth, right? Wario, like just characters you like. So if I had to guess, what you're saying now is you're going to play Rex from Xenoblade if he's the number one top character in Smash Ultimate Deluxe 2, whatever, right? Is that correct?
There's context to everything, I think. But like, it's not like I'm going to wake up when the next Smash game releases and I look at someone else's tier list and copy what their tier list is. In Yu-Gi-Oh, like, I'm new, so I have to rely on a lot of other people's thoughts. And as I get experience, I can have a mind of my own, of course. But because I'm new, I'm looking towards other people a lot. In Smash, I look towards other people very rarely. So what I'm saying is I'm not going to look at the tier list on day one and like play the best character. I'm going to play what I know will win me the tournament I attend next. And that is what I did at the start of Ultimate. Like I played Krom because of the suicide kills. Like I played Wario because I liked him, but I was finding stuff that I knew would win. And like, it was just a process that continually happened. Like, not only did I pick PT because it was an interesting experiment, I just knew people weren't going to be ready for it. And they weren't. I played Diddy for a bunch of similar reasons. Like, Diddy was in the back of my mind for months before the patches happened. And then I just went through with it. And I knew people just wouldn't be ready. Like, it's the same. It's the same stuff. Like, with the next Smash game, it's going to be the same. But I might just take it a slight step farther. That's all.
It's great. People might not know this, but you were grinding the infinite.
Yeah.
Gavin was grinding the infinite for some time, and it was more of like a safety net because Gavin did predict that they're going to take the infinite out. He was like, I'm going to practice it just in case they don't take it out, but I'm pretty sure they're going to take it out. But I think when they take it out, they're going to give him buffs. So that's what you were kind of waiting for. And you were just practicing the infinite just in case as like a, you know, a safety net. But
yeah.
So some people might not even know that. But I think your Smash intuition is up there with some of, you know, the best players in the world, obviously. And that's why I think the first year of Ultimate, or no, the first year of any Smash game to me is the most interesting, because it's cool to see who's the best player in the world after the game is somewhat solved. But I think the most exciting time in the game and what really shows off, I guess, like, what I mean, what we call quote unquote fundamentals or Smash IQ or something like that, is really what comes down to just like seeing what's in the beginning or what is going to work early meta. And even when we think back on MKLeo, playing to not get reversaled and like ledge trapping by roll was something that Leo, in my opinion, like pioneered, right? Like he was the master at that. And other people did do it too. And it's now it's such a standard thing, but Leo is the player that pioneered that. And obviously he played like sword characters, and then Joker's really good in that area with like back air and forward tilt. And there's a bunch of other things that even Gavin pioneered too. I think Gavin, with how he played around platforms, was like the thing that stuck out to me the most in early Ultimate. And both these players played so many different characters, and month to month they're already switching to maybe another character or playing a different play style. And to me that was the most exciting part, and really showcased the different levels of Smash IQ. And I think it'll be interesting for you specifically, because I think for you, sometimes you go too far the overthinking route or the on paper route, where you're like, yeah, oh, well, I shouldn't be winning. Like, I shouldn't be winning this matchup. But you also, I think you'll get better in the next Smash game with the experience you have and being like, okay, this is just the player base is not caught up to what I think the matchup should be playing. So I am going to abuse that. And I think that's something Leo is extremely good at. I think you and Leo play two different sides of the coin. I think Leo is extremely practical and understands.
He's like very present, I think.
Yes, he's very, that's a good way to put it. He's very present. He understands what will work.
Like right, he knew Ike wasn't that good. He knew that.
Yeah, and he still practically won Genesis with him. And I remember talking backstage with him at Genesis, and I was like, Leo, do you really think Ike is good? Because I think he's dog shit. And then he looked at me, he's like, nah, he's not good. And I'm like, yeah. But he told me, he was like, I know it's going to work now. And he pretty much narrowed his way all the way up to like top four. And then the players that were like a big threat to him, he just went Lucina. He went Lucina versus Light. He went Lucina versus Void, right?
Very present.
Because he understood that strategy was not going to work versus them. Because what was Light extremely good at the very start, like month one of Ultimate, he was extremely good at pairing, which is why I thought Ike was overrated. I even thought kind of Rob was a little overrated too, but then, you know, I definitely ate my words on that one. But it was the fact of like, oh, this long startup Nair, once people get better at parrying, which is a new mechanic to the game, right? So yeah, I think you and Leo are very opposite in that spectrum, where he is very present. He understands like the skill level of the current player base and can kind of make decisions based off that, where you're more of a forward thinking player, where you're like, okay, this is good now, but once players do X, Y, or Z, like this is what I'm gonna have to do to counterplay them. And you like look down the road in that sense. And I think both of you, because Leo's kind of in a spot right now where he needs to do more of the overthinking to kind of catch up to the current meta, right? And he's been doing a good job of doing that. Like, you see him doing more technical things like the footstooling out of shield and all these other things. So, which is something you're really good at when it comes to tech and bringing it to gameplay and bringing it to tournament as fast as possible. So it'll be really interesting to see you two specifically kind of find your middle ground in the next Smash game.
Yeah, that's a very interesting way to look at it. I am hoping that my experience will help me, like, be able to judge myself properly and be like, okay, like, thinking ahead is good and all, but when you don't have to, you don't have to. That is a very, like, I didn't consider, like, where I'll be at with that kind of, like, when the situation happens in the next game. But I guess a lot of the reason we're talking about this too is just because, like, the Switch successor, Switch 2 thing is, like, so obviously happening very soon. And
very surprising we didn't get anything at the Game Awards for that. So, because I was expecting something.
It's been an interesting rumor cycle for sure with this whole Switch 2 since the beginning of this year.
Ask Gavin, my hope was cranked up all the way during the Game Awards.
Incredible things about January. So,
yeah.
Basically, the next question after that is for Smash is deluxe or new game. And at this point, it's not even about like what I want when it comes to this conversation. I just want whatever happens sooner.
Please, God.
Because
yes.
by the time a game comes out, regardless of what type of game it is, it will be the longest wait for a Smash game ever. And looking back on it, I think that's expected because Smash Ultimate was so wild that I think it's fair to expect the next one to be the longest wait. But now that we're in the longest wait, I'm like, damn, this sucks. If it's a deluxe, then you can expect it sooner than if it's a new game. If it's a new game, it's concerning in the sense of we don't have the new console even announced. So not only are we already in like the longest wait period, it will be like at least a year and a half on top of that if it's a new game. Probably more. So, holy shit, that would be too much for me to handle.
Lock in, Jims.
So I'm leaning towards deluxe because a deluxe, maybe a year and a half would be the longest we'd have to wait. So rather than like the minimum.
Deluxe could be like a launch title or like close to launch as well, right? Because it's
I can't see Smash being a launch title because they need Switch 2 games to pick from for the new characters.
Oh, I see what you're saying. That's
like
that's
Smash
a fair
being
point.
A launch title, they would only be able to work backwards.
Yeah, it's more of like a 6 months in or a year in.
At least.
Mm-hmm.
A couple years is usually what they need. And so the fact that the Switch 2 is clearly like a little delayed, if you know, you know. Don't argue with me and tell me it's not delayed, because if you know what I'm talking about, you know.
Let Gavin know in the comments if he's right or wrong, please.
And let me know which movie I should watch next. I meant to ask chat. I've been watching movies.
Clearly, I don't want to be super negative with the wording, but something is clearly not going according to plan at Nintendo.
Mm.
Like, they clearly missed timing on announcing key things. You can look at things like even in Game Freak's direction or like the new Legends game. Legends hasn't had a single announcement since the reveal of the game. For Game Freak, that is a really long time of nothing. I think it's been at least 8 months. Mm-hmm. And I think it's not even their fault. They are putting out a lot of fires at Game Freak for sure because of basically the craziest gaming leak to ever happened. So that's not good for Nintendo either. But I think because a lot of these games are obviously Switch 2 games, Game Freaks, like, their hands are tied behind their back. Like, even if they have information, they can't show it because it's probably because it's a Switch 2 game and the Switch 2 doesn't exist to us yet. So, like, it's not good. It's in terms of we have to be patient at this point. It's going to be a long time.
I think that's a key thing is, like, we got to be patient. And I think in the meantime, like, what do y'all do? I know we're all kind of doing other things and Smash isn't like, you know, it's still a main focus for me. It's still a priority and all that stuff. I've been really enjoying other games and other things. Clive being in Tekken is incredible. I know you know that, Gavin, but I love FF16. It's like, I think it has the best Final Fantasy protagonist, Clive, and also the best song. So it's just been cool to like watch and kind of check out some other games. And then the final one is I'm still plugged into Ultimate and I actually have been making more of an effort To do some more New England things. I went to a regional this weekend. I think I told you that like later. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm going to this regional in Providence, Rhode Island, which was really cool. It was just a little regional. Zomba went and won. He farmed. He played against Brujo, which is obviously fun to watch. So it was, I haven't been to a regional in so many years, man, like in such a long time. It's such a different vibe. I mean, I know you all know that, but I don't know. I think it's just so important to continue going to those things. And I'm kind of bummed that Plat Fight did so poorly as well. And I'm not sure. I've been trying to think about it since I've done just a very, very, very minute amount of event planning with Charles on the Throne. Shout out to the merch, by the way. It came in. Looks super good. I love this hoodie. I wear it all the time. Dude, it's very comfy. I can't sell you anymore, chat. Like, I'm not trying to sell you on it, but I'm saying if you missed out, I got the joggers on too. I'm all thrown out. This is what I watched Interstellar in. Very comfortable. Long movie. That's how you know it's comfortable. Dude, but like, what? I don't know. Like, I would just wish Plat Fight kind of did better because I think it could grow and be something.
Well, like,
great.
Attendance-wise? Because I watched a good amount of the top eights for the different games, and I thought the top eights were fun to watch.
I did too, yeah. Attendance-wise, mostly, and I think they kind of released some statements about how it didn't do as well as they were hoping.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm kind of hoping that, or maybe it's just I saw people tweeting. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe I'm fabricating all of this. We just host a podcast. anyone can fact-check us or type in the comments, but from what I saw, you know, I hope it comes back because I think it's a really cool idea. And one thing we are missing from Smash is kind of an Evo type deal. Like, we still go to CEO, which is amazing, but having like a space to share. I'm glad Rivals is still doing so well too. I know obviously it's still very fresh, but I think it's awesome that Melee players are still like really committed, and Void too, and Ultimate players in general are really committed, and kind of a lot of them are making a switch away from Melee, which is insane to even think about or say, like, that they're playing more Rivals than Melee. And I really do think it's messing with their like meta of players who usually do well consistently or not doing quite as well. It's been really interesting to see the effect that Rivals has had on definitely Melee, but also Ultimate as well, of course, because there are a lot of Ultimate kids that are good at Rivals as well. I don't know, I feel like there's a lot to look forward to coming up next year. And that was, chat, we were trying to figure out what we were going to talk about today, and we sat here like trying to think of topics. It usually comes to us pretty easily. It was not that easy this week. I'm sure y'all feel it too. Like, we're just kind of figuring it out right now. It's the end of the year. We want to, you know, go into 2025 strong. I think sometimes it's just like we are where we are right now. And like Gavin, I think Gavin said it really well. Got to be patient. Next game's coming out. Go to your regionals. If you like Ultimate, create some content for it. That was actually a great Patreon question we had. They were like, how can we support Ultimate? Like, how do we continue to help it grow? Or even the next Smash game, what's the best thing you do? And man, like, try your hand at some content, man. It's quiet right now. It's easy to make some noise when it's quiet.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
I'm very excited for what happens to this podcast when the next Smash comes out. I feel like we're just so ready for it because we have so many episodes, and it's going to be exciting to see like new faces show up in the comments or the YouTube channel when a new Smash comes out and they like find content like this. Like, it's such an interesting possibility that I think about occasionally. And like, we're already there. Like, we're already like, we've established a gajillion episodes. So I think that's cool.
Dude, the podcast just being across multiple games is so trippy to me.
Yes.
Yeah. That's crazy. And then we talk about the previous two games in Ultimate, you know, era or whatever.
Like, if it's across multiple games, then there's going to be faces that are new for the sequel. So,
yeah, I was just looking at our last episode. It had pretty low viewership. Maybe we shouldn't put Steve and Olimar back to back on the thumbnail. Perhaps. either way.
Let me looking at if it has that actually.
True.
Steve and Olimar?
We're coming up to 180 episodes, man. We're coming up to episode 200. I'd love to do a live show again. Like, we didn't even talk about this before, but it's been a minute since we've done one.
Yeah.
And I just feel like the vibe is so much better and different when we do that. Like,
suggestions, comments.
Yeah.
What should we do for 200? Chat.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Dude, we got to start thinking about that.
Live stream. We all watch Interstellar on Gavin's couch and live react.
With Tiny.
She's not
on the floor.
No, she's not moving.
Did you see the thumbnail for Lights Out, by the way, Charles? You did us dirty.
Wait,
well,
Phil
did us dirty.
Oh, wait, no. What,
it says Charles Chat with a huge X through Tweak Talks.
What? That's, dude, these guys are unhinged, bro.
Not these guys. It's just one of them, and it's Phil. Yeah, and he's very
I forgot to introduce Charles as a guest.
Oh my god.
You guys have been on Tweak Talk or Lights Out. I don't want to hear it. You guys were on Lights Out before me.
Never solo, bro.
Never solo. That's true.
I see. There's a buddy.
You gotta
system.
Go together. Yeah, exactly. It's like a horror movie. You can't just split up. Like, you gotta stay together. No, obviously we love Lights Out. All those guys over there. I've always said it too. I think Cosmos has just gotten so much better on the podcast. Not that he was like bad or anything initially, but he's gotten like very enjoyable to listen to on the podcast. So I've enjoyed when Paris shows up. I've enjoyed all three of them on there, and obviously Phil's great.
I hope he shows up for his first episode soon.
Nice to have him on as a guest. Here's our guest, Light. Dude, the live episode of Throne, like, that was so fun. Paris didn't show up
either. He literally just said no.
I know, which is, I didn't know it was an option, honestly.
Interesting.
Dang, Gavin dropping the bombs right now.
I was mad, bro, because
you were tight.
You were tight.
It was 10 a.m.
You were front and center, bro. You were there early.
Okay, it was 10 a.m. It was 10 a.m. West Coast, which is 1 p.m. here.
Still 10 a.m., bro.
Oh, my. No, it's not. That's not how it works.
On paper, it's still 10 a.m.
We're East Coasters.
Okay, then all the more reason for him to show up.
Also, hey, actually, yes, I agree with that. That's absolutely, it actually proves your point more. So, yes, you have to be on board with it. Actually, yeah, shout out to you. Gavin, you've been killing it getting up early. I don't know if we talked about this in the last episode, but you've been... It's been nice getting like you messaged me at 8:30 and you're like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm working, but it's nice that you're, you know, awake and alive. That's cool. So that's cool. You kind of accidentally fix your sleep schedule, I think, which is important.
Yeah. I wake up in the morning and I check my Yu-Gi-Oh stock market.
Oh, snap.
Adjust the prices.
I'm telling you, bro, you got to start
drink
day
my
trading.
Coffee. Just kidding. I've literally never had coffee before, but
you'd explode if you had coffee. Yeah, it'd be over.
Yeah, it was kind of accidental. Just all this traveling eventually just came full circle. But it's been nice. You know, my routine is very specific, as I've talked about before. I stream every day. If it's a podcast day, there's that. I work out once or twice a day. Like, I have to do everything or, like, the day is a complete failure. Like, and some of it is, like, super silly. Like, part of my daily routine is shiny hunting. And if I don't do it, then like something went wrong. Like, I just, I'm so meticulous. Even if it's like a hobby, I treat everything like a job. That sounds like miserable, but I actually enjoy it. I treat streaming like a job. Well, it is. I treat Smash like a job. It also is technically, but.
When do you have fun?
Like, everything I treat, like, I take very seriously. I make sure I do everything once a day. Like, whether it's like reading or playing a single player game, like, it's like all blocked off and scheduled, like an hour or two, like all that stuff. And I just make sure I get everything done, and being on a better schedule does make it even easier. Sometimes there's a hiccup in the schedule because I watch basketball or something, but that's about it. That's about it.
You're not watching basketball.
I also legit study Yu-Gi-Oh for hours. Like, actual studying and researching and changing my deck and looking at everyone else's decks. Like, I actually study because it's like a new format very recently. And I've only played locally, but I want to go to a bigger tournament when I'm not doing Smash stuff. Like, I want to win big Yu-Gi-Oh tournaments. Like, I'm 100% serious. If anyone out there is a professional and is somehow seeing this, please hit me up and help me. Take me under your wing. I will listen. Please.
Modern Yu-Gi-Oh.
All yeah, right. That's my life lately.
W, dude.
Pursuing a Yu-Gi-Oh career.
I'm trying to win, bro. I play to fucking win.
You do like winning.
Okay. I think I just hate losing.
All right. Is there a difference?
Yes.
Yes.
Is there?
Yes.
I love winning for sure, yeah.
Dude, hating, I don't know. Hating wait, to lose yeah, that's is a like great. More... Wait, which one's more extreme for you? Like the high winning or the low losing? Really?
It's easy.
That's not even my question.
Shit, I don't know.
Are you thinking about yourself or if you agree?
Yes. Oh, for you, I'd agree. Yeah, obviously.
I am definitely a hate to lose kind of guy.
You are a hate Charles to lose and I kind just, of guy. Shit.
Charles and I are preparing because we hate losing.
Yes. I'm just trying to avoid an extreme shock of pain. That's all I'm trying to do.
Fuck losing.
I'm just fighting for my life. Yeah, sometimes I hate to lose so much that winning doesn't even feel good. Like that. Yeah. It sucks ass. I wish it wasn't that way, but
winning means you didn't lose.
Yes.
You survived.
Do we need therapy? Is that where we're at?
100%.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
My whole life.
Needed therapy for quite some time.
Jesus. Guys, get on it.
I need that shit. We need a
incoming ad read.
Oh dude.
This episode is sponsored by
that would have hit.
We need help.
I'm not gonna say. Send somebody. Wait, I don't know. I love winning. Winning is like that shit is crazy, bro.
Don't get me wrong. It's not like I hate winning. Winning.
I know,
is great,
I know, but
it's just I hate losing more than loving to win.
Like when you're such a planner and like overthinker, I think it makes more sense to hate losing because it's unexpected versus winning is like, yeah, that's what I like planned for like 10 million hours. Like, yeah, I planned for this. But if I lose, I'm like, how is this possible?
Mm-hmm. All right, the session has started. Let's go.
Huh?
we're winning.
I don't know. Winning is
cool.
Are you going to be our
third? We're not losing. No, I'm not qualified. I could never
be you're definitely stanced up like Ron right now has. You're like leaning back with hands like this.
So tell me about that.
So why do you?
So you don't like losing. So tell me about that. How does it connect to your childhood? Right. That's how it always goes in therapy, right? This has been a fun episode, to be honest with you.
We just yapped.
Those are the best episodes, man. I think this is a fun one. Chat, tell us what you want us to talk about, because you know.
Congrats to Wrath, by the way, winning plat fight. We didn't mention that once.
Yeah, hell yeah. Dominant win. Grats to Zomba for winning the tournament I was at. It was a really fun. Shout out to the team there, by the way. I meant to shout them out. They were really cool. It's called Ocean State Jablock, which is a play on words for Ocean State Joblot, which is a big like store around here, if you guys don't know. So it's a good pun. Yeah, they were a cool crew. Paulo is the name of the TO. He's very nice, very accommodating. I had a great time. Like I said, I haven't been in a regional in a while, and the energy just hits different at a regional, man. It's like a, you know, not that it was bad or anything, but it was like a nice little venue. You know, it was like nice and cozy is the way I'd say it. Games were on a projector. It was cool, man. It's been a minute since I've been to a regional, so shout out to Paulo for having us out in the Rhode Island and New England scene, all that stuff, and just feels good to stay connected to the scene, man. So W for that. All right, Gavin, let's talk about some Patreon content. Tell them about it.
Yeah, we're going to get into some bonus content. If anyone's interested, we do bonus content every week. I also do a lot of VOD review on the channel of a bunch of various sets, usually my own. I've started to do a little bit of sets that don't even involve me. But yeah, thank you to anyone who supports it already. It's been great for... How long have we done the Patreon? It's been quite a while. I really appreciate all the support on the podcast, the Patreon, all that stuff. But yeah, we're going to talk about how I'm old, apparently. So have a good one.